is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
743, Mitch McConnell seen this morning handing out magic beans to anyone that was willing to vote to push the Senate health care bill to the floor. We assume it's going to be the House health care bill, the one the president called mean. And then amendments will be added. Not sure how long that will take. It'll be kicked back to the House for approval or disapproval or more adjustments before it presumably at some point would go to Trump to be signed. That's the major news of the day. We'll see where it develops from here. The Democrats, meanwhile, when their white-hot slogan, a better deal, still trying to figure. You know, I don't even a better deal is such a lame slogan. I don't even think it would stick to a T-shirt. I don't think a T-shirt would reject it.
Be like in the bargain bin, dollar shirts.
Ridiculous. It's a Twilight Zone. Let me get a guy in here that I like. Can I do that? All right, let me bring Chris Kennedy in here. Chris Kennedy wants to be the next governor, and I asked him if he's had a full brain scan for the wondering if that was a good job. Chris Kennedy has a very successful life and a happy family and all of those things, and yet you have decided to take this on. And taken on why? I mean, why at this point in your life would you want this job?
I think, like everybody in the state, we're sick of seeing our kids leave. The next generation is departing our state. And, you know, none of us want to die alone, frankly. Nobody wants to die alone. And if we don't turn this state around, that's what's going to happen to all of us.
Yeah, Illinois has the potential of going. I was just going to say, Chris, Illinois has the potential of going from the position we've always enjoyed as being one of the leaders in this country to one of the states that everybody feels sorry for and asking for help. You know what we're going to become if we're not careful? We're going to become the guy that shows up at Thanksgiving or the family party and they go, oh, Bob's here. Mm. Oh, well, don't try to get him upset. And you know he's going to ask for money. Get him a plate of food ready and send him home. We don't want to be that guy, Chris.
Yeah, no. Tell Bob, why don't we get you a better deal?
I got to tell you something. The Democratic leadership coming up with a better deal. Are you kidding me? That's the best we can do?
What did that cost? Brain Trust to put that together.
Here's what Trump is right about.
Let's not give him something great. Let's not give him the best. Maybe something better.
A slightly increase in hope for you. Oh, please. All right, now, a couple of things I want to run by you here. First off, the property tax thing. You've been talking about this property tax mess for years. Do you feel vindicated at all? The Tribune series came out, and people are at least talking about this issue now?
I think it's great that everybody's talking about it, but we need more than talk. We need action. And, you know, you see a 10 million data point study out of the University of Chicago, enormous coverage in the Tribune, editorials in the Cranes, the Sun-Time, Tribune, all sorts of radio and television coverage, and almost no elected officials speaking out against the system that Joe Berrios has created as Cook County assessor. And the reason they don't speak out against him, the reason they're not critical, the reason they're not bowing to the weight of all of that evidence is he is also the head of the Cook County Party and the Democratic Party in Cook County, which means he controls their slating, which means he has the upper hand and they're afraid of him. We need to separate those roles so that people, elected officials, are free to speak out, because the cowardly behavior that we're witnessing now is destroying the lives of people in our city and our county.
Chris, you mentioned UFC. Let's talk a little bit about education funding in this special session that's going to be convening this week. Do you like SB1, or what would you change about it? What do we need to do in this state to get this education funding bill or some variants of it passed?
Well, I think it's a step in the right direction. I mean, obviously, we need to open the schools on time, and any threat to that, I think, is a threat to society. Having said that, it continues to rely on property taxes, which makes the people who have careers as property tax appeals lawyers even more certain. That is, it locks in their income and their way of life. And I think that's a disaster for our state. We're so undereducating the next generation of kids in Illinois that 75% of them aren't college ready, aren't ready to enter the workforce when they graduate high school. That's a disaster for the future of our economy and for everybody who lives here.
Yeah, school districts shouldn't need individual lobbyists to get a fair deal. You know, I mean, let's the common sense ought to have some sort of play in this. There's a ton of kids in Chicago that need great schools. It doesn't mean downstate and outstate kids don't need great schools. But there ought to be a way to fairly and equitably spread out the resources and make all these schools work better. You know what they need? A better deal.
Oh, here we go.
A better deal.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, a better deal. But we make things harder than they need to be, Chris.
There's 50 high schools. 50 high schools in Chicago where the average ACT score is a 14 or a 15.
Ugh.
How are those kids supposed to participate in this economy? It's not that they need something better than that. They need that abandoned. We need to set high standards, great goals. We need to make them part of the modern America. And instead, we're abandoning them. And that's not right. If we change the way we fund our schools, if we adopt a progressive graduated income tax, broaden the tax that we have now to include all of the people who, through special exemptions, are not included in that tax, then we can fund our schools and give the kids a chance.
The gun violence problem in the city is epic, and the statistics are nauseating. Look, nobody knows more than you and your family what gun violence can do and suffering it in the most horrific ways. What's it like to be a kid trying to grow up and trying to thrive when you lose your dad like you did and your uncle?
Well, I mean, I think it's really difficult, and I think I was lucky to grow up in a family with resources and lots of brothers and sisters and cousins who, you know, rallied together and looked after each other. But not everybody is as lucky as I was in that regard. And you look at the violence in Chicago, you think about the Vietnam War, you think about the soldiers who served there. They were not 5 years old or 4 years old or 10 years old. They were on their way to adulthood. And yet, 50 years later, we're still dealing with the aftermath, with PTSD, with our inability to care for them. And what has happened to them as vets is happening to our entire city. Generations of kids now wounded. I think the bullet that kills the father wounds the child.
Sure.
And we're not taking care of those kids or the communities that are suffering from the mental illness and PTSD that happens when you're exposed to such a violent act at such a young age.
Jurisdictionally, there's always been a stand down policy. Well, not always, but for the most part, from the governor's office. As governor, what could you do to make yourself part of the success of stemming the violence in Chicago while respecting jurisdictions and the mayor's territory and all that? I mean, how do you make it better?
Well, let's talk about treating the victims and the support that the state can provide for kids who are in school. So we have social and emotional learning tools that can be available to them. The greatest think tank and organization in the United States for social emotional learning came out of Yale University and is now located at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Their research, their plans, their ability to help other people should be present in every grade school and high school in the state. The fact is, Chicago's not the most violent city in the state. We probably rank fifth as the most violent community. And we have to heal the entire community. And there are lots of things that we can do to provide mental health support and support for our safety net hospitals. We need help with curtailing the spread of guns. We have more gun violence in Chicago, principally because we have more guns. those guns are coming from out of state largely, and Illinois can play a role.
Yeah, and I assume you support the legislation passed and partially passed recently to shut down some of that interstate gun violence, but not only that, also to make sure that those who have gun convictions don't end up on the street in 6 weeks.
Right.
That, and, you know, there's these gun trains, and you think that's like urban myth, some form of legend, but the truth is repeatedly trains carrying enormous loads of guns are parked in the city core and in poorly protected lots by rail companies who have insurance and gun companies that have insurance, and so they don't mind if their load is lost because it's insurable. That's an insurable risk for them. But suddenly we have hundreds or thousands of guns on our street, and they need to stop allowing that to occur. I think if that occurs again, the governor of the state ought to condemn those tracks as a public nuisance until we get clarity for them as to what they will do to protect our streets.
It's an extremely underreported story, and most people do think it's urban legend, but it needs to be investigated.
Chris, so much of wanting this job is fundraising. J.B. Pritzker and Dan Biss outraised you in the second quarter. Are you worried about keeping up as far as the fundraising goes?
No, not at all. I have a great network around the state and around the country. Over 6,000 or about 6,000 people have given to me so far, and my belief is that plenty more will do that. We'll have the resources to compete, and I'm not worried about money in this campaign.
Last question. Some people have accused me of being cynical because I'm sick of everybody. I'm sick of the Democrats. I'm sick of the Republicans. I just want people to get elected and do the right thing. Yes, it means negotiating with the other party. Yes, it means compromise. But first and foremost, it doesn't mean you keep the job because you won an election. It means you keep the job because you're doing the right thing. So what do you say to people who fall into that set of beliefs who are just tired of politicians?
I think the system is encouraging you to feel that way. I'd say the Republican Party, which has spent billions of dollars in the United States, has a four-point plan. It's all around voter suppression. They tell you government doesn't work. Then they tell you all politicians are corrupt. The third thing is there's nothing you can do about it. And the fourth message is don't bother voting. They're brainwashing you. They're convincing you to stay out of the process. Resist it with everything you can. Show up, vote, send a message, do your duty as an American, and get a better outcome for this country.
And we need more than a better deal. Good luck. We invite you back many, many times. Thanks for being on.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.